Good morning. How are you? How has your week been? It's great to have you join me for this morning's service, a chance to step aside from all that's going on in our lives and spend some time focusing on our great God. Let's start our service by singing and lifting our voices together in praise to our Lord as we sing Our God. And then let's worship further with Agnus Dei. Alleluia, for the Lord God Almighty reigns.
Out of the ashes we rise. are God Almighty.
Amen. Alleluia. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Let me pray. Dear Lord, as we join together, albeit remotely, for this time this morning, may we be as one, for we come together in one mind to lift praise and worship to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We declare that you reign. Alleluia. We declare that you are in control and you are so much bigger than our circumstances. We trust you. We will walk in faith. As we come to your word now, will you speak to each of us? May we hear your voice in the words. May we know your guidance, your encouragement, your love. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's read together Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Amen. I will yet praise him. Despite all that's facing the writer of this psalm, he speaks to his soul and says, put your trust in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Some versions say, praise him again. Many stick with the yet, and I like that yet because it makes me think I will still praise him no matter what. And that reminds me of Job, the story of a godly man who loses so much and is afflicted in many ways, and yet holds on to his faith in God. Let's read the start of his story, Job chapter 1. In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going to and fro on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were ploughing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, The fire of God fell from the heavens and burnt up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert, struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they were dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Wow, what a catalogue of tragedies befalls him. But Job still says, may the name of the Lord be praised. I'd been thinking along these lines when I listened to Ben's opening sermon from the letter of James a couple of weeks ago. James says in the opening verses of chapter 1 to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James acknowledges our faith will be tested, and that testing develops perseverance so that we become mature in our faith. And Ben talked of what a persevering faith looks like, that a persevering faith is genuine, consistent, and mature. It's when we face trials and difficulties that we find out if our faith is genuine. Do we hold on to God or do we run the other way? And in Job, we see a man whose faith is genuine, who can still say, may the name of the Lord be praised. Or as the psalmist put it, I will yet praise him. I remember reading the story behind the great hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Horatio Gates Spafford wrote the words, and in many ways, his story is akin to Job's. Spafford was a successful lawyer in Chicago. He was a supporter of Dwight L. Moody and Ira Sankey, and other prominent Christian evangelists formed part of his circle of friends. He had a son and four daughters and was a wealthy man with investments in properties along the shoreline of Lake Michigan. He had every reason to be thankful to God. But then in a saga similar to Job's, first his four-year-old son died, and soon after his fortune went up in smoke, quite literally, when his real estate was destroyed in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Horatio felt a holiday would be good for the family, and so they booked a trip to Europe to join Moody and Sankey on one of their tours. At the last minute, a business emergency meant Horatio had to stay behind, vowing to join the family as soon as possible. In November 1873, the SS V. Du Havre set sail for England with his wife Anna and their four daughters, Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tanetta, on board. In mid-Atlantic, the ship collided with another vessel and sank within 12 minutes, with the loss of 226 of 307 passengers and crew. Survivors were taken to Wales, and several days later, Horatio received a telegram from his wife saying simply, saved alone. All four daughters had perished. Spafford immediately set off to be with his wife. On the crossing to Wales, the ship's captain, knowing of the tragedy, summoned Horatio to the bridge, informing him he believed they were now passing the spot where the Ville du Havre had sunk. Horatio went back to his cabin and penned the words of the hymn, "It is well with my soul." Some of the other survivors were worried that Anna may take her life in her grief. But she later spoke of hearing a voice say, "It's easy to be grateful and good when you have so much. But take care that you are not a fair-weathered friend of God." The Spaffords went on to eventually live in Old Jerusalem, serving the poor and needy. What a couple they were. The words of the first verse of the hymn that Horatio wrote are this: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Even in his deep sadness, his faith was genuine, and he could say, "It is well with my soul." He had learned to say that, whatever his lot, in good times and bad, "It is well with my soul." In the book of Habakkuk, we read a wonderful affirmation of faith in the same vein. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 read, "Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour." He had learnt to trust in God's providence, regardless of circumstances. In the New Testament, we see the Apostle Paul having the same attitude. In Acts 16, we read of him and Silas being put in prison. They've been stripped and beaten, severely flogged, and the prison guard, who's been told to guard them carefully, has put them in the innermost cell and has put their feet in stocks. And what do we read they do? Verse 25. "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." They're singing and praying. They were still going to praise the Lord. They could trust in God regardless of their circumstances. Paul writes of this trust in his letter to the Philippians. In chapter 4, we read, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Paul had learnt perseverance. His faith was genuine, consistent, and mature. Over the years, Brian and I have faced many times of testing. One of the first and probably hardest was the stillbirth of our second child, a beautiful 10-pound baby boy who was silent and never opened his eyes. I had been a Christian about 15 years. We had a monthly magazine at church at that time, and I remember writing an article for the magazine saying how this had tested my faith. Was everything I professed true? Was God really my rock, my refuge? Could I still praise him? Oh, yes. I'm not saying I didn't go through some very difficult patches. But when the rubber hit the road, I knew God was there and that he loved me. I knew somehow this was okay, because I could trust that my father loved me with an unending love. I knew and could hold on to the fact that God is good. And his ways are good, even if I don't understand them. I learnt, as Job did, if you read to the end of that book, that God is sovereign. I may not always understand his ways, but I can trust he knows best. He knows what he's doing. And there's a great sense of security in being able to leave unanswered questions with him. Maybe one day I'll get an answer. Or maybe it won't matter anymore once I see him face to face. But I can honestly say, whatever my lot, it is well with my soul, and I will still praise him. If you get a chance to look up the hymn, do have a listen. It's glorious. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. What about you? Is it well with your soul? We're going through tough times. Are you holding on to God, clinging to Jesus? Is your faith standing up to this test? Are you learning perseverance? Will you let God mature your faith? There's a modern song that's taken the words of the chorus of Spafford's great hymn. And it's also called It Is Well. One line says, "So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name." It refers to when Jesus calms the storm on Lake Galilee by rebuking the wind and the waves. And the disciples say, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." The first time I heard this song, I was struggling with a problem and wasn't sure what to do. I heard this and I thought, yeah, that's it. Creation knows the name of Jesus. What I'm facing will be subject to him. Let go and trust. We're going to sing that song now. Thanks to Julie for recording this. It is well.
So let go, my soul.
Yes, times are tough, but through it all, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes on him. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your love is unending. Thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus to die on the cross for us and to make a way for us to come back to that relationship with you where we can call you Daddy God. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love and your care. Lord, we want to have a faith like Horatio Spafford. We want to have a faith like Job, like Paul. So many people who've gone before us who we can look at and learn from. May we indeed grow our faith, put our trust in you, and know that sense of security that you are in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to end today by singing Build My Life. Can you commit to building your life on God's love? It is a firm foundation.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy.
Amen. Let me pray as we finish. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen. Have a blessed week. Goodbye.